about continued evidence of regional bank weakness, all eyes will be on the Federal Reserve next week. The central bank is expected to conclude its two-day policy meeting on Wednesday with a quarter of a percentage point increase in the federal funds rate.
Are banking rules tough enough? Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Even as President Biden calls for stiffer penalties for bank leaders who mismanage their lending institutions, the banking industry and the banking system is already in the sights of Congress. The chair of the Senate Banking Committee tells me they'd like to have hearings into the matter. The Senate Majority Leader says big legislation to safeguard American depositors is needed. And Republicans are talking about better action from regulators.
President Biden calls it justified, an international criminal court arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin for war crimes in Ukraine. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
The Biden administration is already building a case and looking towards future charges potentially of genocide. They've identified 43 camps holding at least 6,000 children. And as Secretary Blinken said, this is an attempt to really erase Ukraine's identity and its future. Some of these camps are closer to Alaska than they are to Ukraine.
At Fort Hood, Texas, officials say they're trying to find out more about this week's death of a 20-year-old combat engineer after the woman's family demanded more answers. Lieutenant General Sean Burnaby.
At this point in the investigation, there are no indications of foul play. CID is not ruling anything out and will investigate the circumstances leading up to Anna's death fully and completely.
The latest on that chemical train derailment at East Palestine, Ohio.
Governor DeWine sounded cautiously optimistic.
Progress is being made.
He said there are some good signs.
Municipal drinking water tests continue to come back good.
Norfolk Southern, he said, has an obligation to put East Palestine back to where it was before the derailment. He did express some frustration that soil removal efforts have stalled, primarily because other states are trying to block soil from being moved to federally approved sites located in those states. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Actor Lance Reddick has died, natural causes. He played bad guys and straight shooters like this cop in HBO's The Wire.
She wants me to juke the stats for Carcetti this quarter and the next. Hide the crime, get him elected as governor, and make her the mayor.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
This sports brief is sponsored by Indeed. Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton says playing in the big game was a dream come true.
You watching this game growing up, man, it's kind of crazy, man. Even just playing in it, you watched it all for the last 10, 12 years, and just being enjoying it with your family, man, and all the good events that comes with it.
Need to hire? You need Indeed. Indeed. Just sponsor a post and receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Lowe's always has more ways for you to save. On top of our everyday low prices, pros can save big when buying in bulk. Or if your purchase is over $1,500, ask about our volume savings program. A pro associate can provide a customized quote. Ask about our volume savings programs today. It always pays to be a pro at Lowe's. While supplies last, minimum purchase required. Selection varies by location. Lowe's reserves the right to limit quantities. Volume discount pricing quotes are valid up to 7 days. Visit your local pro desk to learn more and start saving. Offers subject to change may not be available in all Lowe's stores.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered snow showers tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows dip down to about 11. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow. Highs level off around 24. Cloudy. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 11. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
There was a point in my life where I tried to become a life coach, and I was in a year-long training program. So one of the main rules of the program is that you can't date anyone else in the program. Did not follow that rule. I both got kicked out.
I would have the exact same problem.
Yeah. No sour, haha, funny power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy St. Patrick's Day. How do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. I realize that for people who might want to answer that question, they may already be celebrating and not listening right now.
Oh, I can guarantee you they've been celebrating for a while.
Because in Milwaukee, I feel like celebrations start early. Mike was out. I think he met his cousins at 9:30.
That's late.
Is it late?
We used to broadcast live.
And what time would you start?
5.
So people would be out by 5?
Yes. Yes.
That is an aggressive day.
Yes, it's a long day. I've always been curious, if you start that early, how long do you last? If you start drinking beer at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I would be dead by 9.
I'm trying to think. I've never started at 5 for St. Patrick's Day or anything.
Right.
The earliest we've ever started, there is an event in San Francisco called Beta Breakers, which is where it's an actual race. For some people, but for many people, everyone, whether you're seriously racing or not, wears a costume. But it starts at the bay. So it starts on the east side of the peninsula of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And then there is a route that goes the 7 miles to the breakers, which is the ocean to the west side of San Francisco. I never made it past Golden Gate Park because for those of us who are not actually racing, the whole day was just drinking. And so we would start at 7:30.
Oh.
And I think we would make it. And like there's house parties along the entire way. You can just walk in the streets and drink. It was sloppy. Very sloppy.
I bet.
And I typically made it till say like 2 or 3. There was a time in my life that basically every Beta Breakers ended in a fight with my boyfriend, so that says something.
That's nice.
But St. Patrick's Day, I think I feel like I usually have to work. And so the people who can, you know, partake and do all day, it's like they have flexible jobs.
Or they just take off.
Yeah. But yes, if you are listening and you have plans for later today that you would like to share of how you celebrate St. Patrick's Day, 844-967-2789. But I thought, you know, it's such a funny, it's one of those things, it's one of those holidays where I do think we, you know, there's like, well, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day even more than the Irish. And, you know, I think what I've read in the past is that until recently, St. Patrick's Day in Ireland was more,
It was a religious holiday. Yes.
It was a bank holiday. It was a religious holiday. You were expected to go to church. And it's only in the advent of the, you know, celebrations of American Irish. And I think the drinking of that and the celebration of culture, especially because, you know, the Irish were looked down upon for a very long time in this country. And so the reclaiming of their culture and being proud of that, because there's a lot of Irish people in the United States.
And all over the world.
And so I came across this TikTok last night because I hadn't really thought of it. I mean, I knew, you know, in pure numbers, as far as how many people are Irish in America, and like the comparison of people who are currently Irish, as in they have Irish citizenship and live in Ireland, mm-hmm. versus Americans who claim Irish heritage in some diluted fashion, because more and more of us are just some mix of a lot of different things. But I saw this last night, and I just, like, putting it in the context of the numbers, I was like, oh, this actually makes a lot more sense why there is such a hold on Americans and this holiday.
This map is fascinating. It shows the number of Americans of European descent as a ratio of those still living in the old country. So look here at Norway. That means that the number of Norwegian Americans amounts to 71% of the total population of Norway today. Or here, German Americans are 50% of the population of Germany, and so on. And hey, look, America has been a great place to escape wars and famines and persecution for a long time. But here's the number that should blow your ever-loving mind. Look at Ireland. That's not 6.2, that's 620. That means there are more than six times as many Irish Americans as there are people living in Ireland. Which is a reminder of just how brutal the British colonial occupation of Ireland was. Like when they banned free trade and forced the starving Irish to export their agricultural crops right in the middle of the potato famine of the 1840s. Here's a chart showing the Irish population over the last two centuries. 1 million people died in the potato famine, and 2 million more emigrated to the United States. The population of Ireland still hasn't recovered. And as a result, today there are 5 million people living in Ireland, but 32 million Irish Americans. Which includes Joe Biden, for whom 10 of his 16 great-great-grandparents were born in Ireland.
That's mind-blowing.
Isn't that mind-blowing?
Yes, it is.
So it's 5 million Ireland, another 2 million when you include Northern Ireland, but 32 million Americans of Irish descent, so one in 10 Americans. We said earlier in the program that it was 70 million people worldwide have Irish ancestry, mm-hmm. that, you know, fled because of the famine and the colonial rule of Britain. And so when you think about the dominance of that and the influence of that in America, it does make a lot more sense of why this is a very celebrated holiday, even for those of us who are not Irish, who partake and it's fun and the traditions and stuff. But for people who are Irish, and I think sometimes it does get lost of like the plight of that country. And I think so often we think about like the British colonialists and what they did to so many countries, and often what they did to black and brown countries.
Yes.
But the fact that they did it even to their neighbors, and the what they had over them, and the way they just let them starve and let 1 million people die, but wouldn't let them grow anything else besides potatoes, which are not even native to Ireland.
And I have, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I had no idea that those were the circumstances during that potato famine. Shocking.
Angela's Ashes, is that the famous book that was about the potato famine?
I believe so.
So not to put a downer on such a happy day, but it was just kind of those handful, like seeing that video, reading a couple things about the history of St. Patrick's Day, and realizing that this is not, and now I think, because you know, there's also the argument of what we do with Cinco de Mayo, which is an independence, you know, a day of independence for Mexico. And it's like, why are you a white person celebrating this so much?
Because we can have a party, Kristen.
But there is, obviously, there's now a huge increase of Mexican-Americans. I still think it was the other way around as far as a bunch of white Americans making that a bigger deal. But maybe I could be wrong on that. But I think it makes more sense of why it is so cherished. And this is such a fun day for so many, because there is a huge stronghold, 32 million people.
That's really impressive.
And so I'm trying to think of other fun things that I read this morning as far as why you know, the background of St. Patrick's Day. Oh, you know what I wanted to share? If you had to guess, what's the top five cities for St. Patty's Day celebrations?
Boston.
Okay.
Chicago.
Okay. Are you doing this in order, or are you just naming five?
Well, Boston is first. I would put Chicago second.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Okay.
And then I'm drawing a blank.
That was pretty good for the top, for three. So, according to Wallet Hub, I don't know how they there was across various metrics, but they ranked it. So, number one is Boston. Number two is Philly. Number three is Chicago.
Oh, not bad.
Number four is Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And number five is New York.
Well, you would think it's the coastal cities, right? Where they landed.
Because I remember reading on Wisconsin Historical Society's website once, because Milwaukee takes St. Patrick's Day pretty seriously. But you think about it, you think of Milwaukee, you think much more Polish and German.
And German.
Because there was at one point, I guess, an influx of Irish, but this sounds like such a stereotype, and this is not me saying this, but apparently the Irish that immigrated to Wisconsin at first weren't really as willing to work the land as the Germans were, so they went back to Chicago.
I want to do something else.
Where there was more like industrial jobs versus farming jobs.
Yeah, I've been hoeing my entire life. Now I'd like to try something else.
Yeah, and so we don't have quite the same Irish population. We have an Irish population, but not quite as dominant as some of the other places. But, you know, the other thing that I feel like, which is maybe why Milwaukee does have a pretty big St. Patrick's Day celebration, but what all of those five cities have in common, you know, is they've all been spending the last 4 months miserable in the cold and not seeing sunlight. And this is our Groundhog's Day, as far as like spring is maybe almost here. We maybe only have one snowstorm left before we actually can enjoy the sun. Have you adjusted to daylight savings time?
Sure, whatever.
Be back on it.
Fine.
All right. Well, if you have any traditions that you want to share with us, what does your St. Patrick's Day celebration look like? 844-967-2789. When we come back, we'll keep talking about St. Patrick's Day. We'll maybe talk about whether or not this SNL sketch from last weekend was offensive or not. Colin Farrell's reaction to it. We still got a lot of show left. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are having fun on this St. Patrick's Day. If you weren't working, would you be out? Do you typically celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
I do not.
You just don't care?
It's too crowded. It's too stupid. It's like going out on New Year's Eve with all the youngsters.
Yeah.
You know? No, it just doesn't. back in the day, we would have, you know, we would broadcast from 5 until 9
mm-hmm.
and then probably stick around and have a couple drinks. And then because I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd go home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go to bed. So.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm sure once I was already told that I will be picking up my husband.
Well, good.
So
that's all right.
We're going to be safe. So yeah. I get to drive today because we are going to head to Rapids after this afternoon because it is my dad's birthday. So a happy early birthday to him. But so we'll see what kind of condition he's in when we pick him up. We'll see what kind of condition Milwaukee is in when I make it back to
the
city.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
So far, I did not see a lot of anything in Waukesha yet. I didn't see a lot of green or places. I don't know if there's an Irish pub on Main Street or not, but I haven't seen
anyone
much.
I
haven't seen anyone walking past our studio stumbling with Irish green. Oh, I forgot my hat.
You have a hat?
I have my grandpa's. Yes. I have my grandpa's. This is it's so random. Sequined green clover cowboy hat. It's in the car.
You have a sequin green clover cowboy hat, and you left it in the car?
I left it in the car because I put it in the back seat instead of next to me. So when I got out of the car, I didn't bring it. I'll show you before we leave today. I was going to wear it during this segment, and I just realized that I left it in the car.
I am experiencing actual physical pain.
Up your alley.
Well, after we just talked about the Ranger hat yesterday, you know my affinity for hats.
That's true.
We'll have to do some photos.
Have to do some photos. Maybe I think you might look better in the hat, Jane. Since you're not wearing green, I might have to gift it to you so you don't get pinched later.
That would be wonderful.
But all right. So speaking of Irish tropes and traditions and stereotypes, last weekend we obviously had the Oscars, but the night before the Oscars, SNL had done a sketch. And I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of SNL this year. I don't know how funny it's been. I know they have a ton of new cast members.
Right.
Because they had a ton of cast members leave. And, you know, I don't know if there's new writers. But they did, because they do topical comedy, they did, I think it was their cold open for the night, was a red carpet Oscars sketch.
Sure.
As far as, you know, the different stars coming through. Doing a bit, making fun of it. And so let's play the sketch, and then we'll come back and talk about what the reaction to the sketch was.
We have the stars of The Banshees of Inisherin, Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. How do you guys like your chances tonight?
You know, that's the words, and you know, like, take words of troops for where in your bay.
Hey, me grain pew atari swill toony trees in it.
Yeah. Bush, like they say, you know, our time's the good work.
I can prepare.
Giving like it's been for long on.
So
take team, me whole team at CAA.
Wow, and they haven't even started drinking yet.
So, that was only one part of the sketch. So the sketch was longer. And then the next person they brought on was supposed to be Michelle Williams' Jewish coach, because she played Steven Spielberg's mom in the Fablemans, who was Jewish. And so it was like a woman came on as a very New York Jewish woman talking about how she, you know, it's a joke. And her final line is like, now I have to go see my acting coach, Chuck Schumer. So, you know, is it funny? Meh. Is it offensive? And that becomes the question, because apparently there was a lot of people who found this sketch, Irish people, found this sketch to be very offensive. So one of whom... Have you ever watched Dairy Girls?
I haven't, but I'm very familiar with it. Yeah.
Great show. Great show. I actually go back and watch I still haven't seen the third episode, but Dairy Girls is a comedy on Hulu, Netflix. I think it's Netflix. Half hour comedy. And it's the backdrop is Ireland in the 90s during the bad times. And, you know, the war, like all of the
terrorist acts that were happening, but it's a comedy and sees like four high school girls. It's really funny. It's really, really funny. But the creator of that show, Lisa McGee, retweeted the video and said, yes, this is fine, with like a slapping face emoji. And then someone else responded saying, what the absolute F is this?
This is absolutely not funny.
Someone else responded saying, "These are all Irish people. This is beyond offensive." And then a woman named Elizabeth David, who is, lives in Southeast Ireland. Painting the Irish as drunks is what the British rulers in the 1800s did to feel superior to the Irish and was racist. This Saturday Night Live skit of Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, who works hard to maintain his sobriety, which is important.
It is.
Was so tone deaf and so 1800s. So I guess my question is, even if you're not Irish, maybe, or, you know, it might be hard for those of us who are not Irish sometimes to comment what is or is not offensive. But was it offensive? And so when we come back after the break, I think this opens a bigger question on when you live in a culture that can be stereotyped, if you lean into some of the stereotypes, can you be mad when there's jokes at your expense? And this includes Wisconsin, because we love Charlie Barron's, but we don't necessarily like it when people from the outside make fun of us. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers men's basketball team is in postseason play, and you can hear the action from the National Invitational Tournament on these local Civic Media radio stations.
Wisconsin hosts Liberty in the second round of the NIT this Sunday with an 11 a.m. tip-off.
WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. In Richland Center, dial up WRCE, 1450 AM or 107.7 FM. And in Amory, tune in 1260 AM, WLAK. Every win in the NIT, find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and on the app.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered snow showers tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows dip down to about 11. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow. Highs level off around 24. Cloudy. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 11. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Missed opportunity to not have a Guinness. Should have brought some Guinness in today. Do you like Guinness? No, you don't really like beer.
I'm not a big beer fan, but I would take a sip.
What would be Irish whiskey? Could you get Irish on board with that?
Irish coffee.
Sure. Trying to think. I'm not a big corned beef person.
I'm not either.
So that is definitely not. Well, the big tradition in our house, and I've made a video about this before, was my mom, the leprechauns would turn our milk green.
Oh, man. Your mother really went on this stuff.
Yes, she really did. So it would be we'd come down for breakfast. I remember I was really into it. I have a feeling my brother really kind of rolled his eyes. But we would come down for breakfast, and it would be an empty glass, an empty, like, pint glass that you could see through it. And then she'd pour milk in, we'd have our cereal sitting there.
Sure.
And the cereal would sit there, but there's no milk in it yet. And she'd then pour milk into the glass, and it would turn green as she poured it. And then she'd pour it into the cereal, and it would turn green. And of course, now I know it was just food coloring sitting at the bottom of the glass.
She was, you know. She was in a class of her own, your mother.
Yeah, she was pretty, she's pretty special. Shout out to Mama Bri.
No kidding.
But I made a joke about that a couple years ago about no wonder I like green beer. She started me young on the dyeing of liquids, a green color for the holiday. But so any reason to celebrate something. But anyways, so we were talking about last weekend, SNL had a very mediocre sketch as far as different celebrities or people like the Oscars were the next day. They had an Oscar sketch in which two of their actors came down and did an impression of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, two Irish actors. And, you know, the joke being you could barely understand them. And then the follow-up jokes saying, because of their thick accent, and then the follow-up joke being, and they haven't even started drinking yet.
That was the out.
And that was the out. And then the sketch went forward. They weren't even the whole sketch. And there was a lot of people who were very offended by the sketch. So much so that on an Irish talk show, it became a conversation, which I found this, why we can't ban TikTok. I found so much information there.
Too useful.
So this was a debate on one of the Irish show on whether or not that sketch was offensive.
I think, look,
The criticism of it is completely legitimate. Like, it's just not funny. Like, that's the main problem with it. It's just not very funny.
And it's not original. It's utterly unimaginative.
But I mean, I think that those stereotypes are a price we have to pay given how much we lean into some elements, those elements of Irish culture.
How do we lean in?
You talked about Joe Biden coming here.
We shouldn't have to pay that price.
Joe Biden, we're going to bring... Your government are going to bring Joe Biden. They'll organise it that Joe Biden goes to the Guinness storehouse or he'll be in a pub. There will be a pint of Guinness. It was the same when President Obama was here. It's the same when there's any state visitor here. We even did it to the Queen. We tried to shove a pint of Guinness into her hand. Prince Philip was the only one, I think, who'd pick it up. So we do that. We talked about, like, the fight in Irish, like, as in the fighting Irish, like, at Notre Dame. It's literally a leprechaun with his fists up. Yet we lean into it when we're there. They're coming over here, big US collegiate American football game coming up later this year. The biggest movement of US citizens outside of wartime, and we're going to talk that up.
Like, well, that's, that's tourism as well.
No,
though.
I know,
and that's
no,
a lot of money.
We lead into it for tourism. And
yeah.
We're going to send, and those American tourists, when they come here, where are we going to send them? We're going to send them to the Guinness Storehouse in Temple Bar. We talk up as a great business success story.
But we're
we talk about Irish whiskey sales, which are a great
success
story.
We're entitled to be proud of our heritage, but we don't have to have a skit made of it.
No, but you can't lean into the alcohol and then expect people not to kind of take the mick a little bit at the same.
So that was News Talk's Kieran Cudahy, and Minister of the State of State Mary Butler, and you could tell the two women in the clip were pretty defensive and did not like the sketch.
Right,
and he makes a point that the sketch wasn't funny, and I agree with him. It wasn't that original. It wasn't that funny. But I also, you know, I think the only kind of qualm is serious is that Colin Farrell at the beginning of his career, when he was such a heartthrob, was drinking a lot and has since is now sober mm-hmm. and works hard in his sobriety. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, was there something to be said as far as implying that he was going to drink later in that sketch? But again, it was such a throwaway joke and wasn't the point of that bit that like, but I also think the part that rang true for me in the discussion they're having is I think cultural groups, including Wisconsin, have this discussion as far as what are the super Wisconsin things that we lean into hard.
To make fun of.
That we make fun of. We embrace and we make fun of ourselves. Like, I am friends with him. He has his show on this network. But Charlie Behrens has made an entire career out of this. And he's funny. And I mean, and he is funny.
Yes, he is.
And he makes us laugh, but he makes us laugh at very low hanging fruit of the stereotype of Wisconsin and the Midwest. He doesn't do as much about us being like the drunkest state in the union. He does something jokes about drinking, but it's the fishing, it's the accent, it's the telling you that it's the things that we say and stuff. And he pulls it off, one, because he's from here. And so it feels like we're in on the joke. But it doesn't negate the fact that it's leaning into stereotypes, and stereotypes come from things that are true. And I think what I appreciate about the exchange that was happening on the Irish show is that he's like, listen, we can't parade visitors around and give them a Guinness and do the thing and do the Irish thing that everyone expects us to do. Because people like it and then get upset when people make fun of us for drinking. And I kind of agree with that. It's like, I think it's the same thing. Like people, I mean, we take great pride in how much we drink here, right? And so I just kind of fall on who gets to make the joke. Do you have to be part of the group to be able to make the joke? Or does the joke just have to be funny enough to get away with saying it? So if you have feelings on this, I have a feeling everyone's celebrating right now.
No, we got some texts.
Oh, we do? All right. So if you have feelings on, like, who gets to make cultural jokes? And can you still make them if they're not funny? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party!
So what's the text line saying?
Texter from the 608 says, to preface, I have some Irish heritage. There is some bad history indeed with Irish immigrants, and Ireland certainly has had some very dark times, which aren't funny. However, Irish Americans are certainly not a marginalized group in this day and age. I certainly wouldn't call that SNL skit racist by any stretch of the imagination. While it's never okay to punch down and ridicule marginalized groups, the spirit of this seems very different to me. And there was a clip from a different award show of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson where they were being interviewed. This is pre-Oscars. And they were literally just talking all over each other.
I think I've seen that one.
And I think that's where the genesis of that skit came from.
Well, and also, as we were talking about the show Dairy Girls, which again, highly recommend. It is so funny. I have to watch it with subtitles on.
Oh, definitely, because the accents can be strong. I wish my mother-in-law had had subtitles. It would have helped a lot.
And so it's I know the clip you're talking about, and also even trained actors as they are, if you're not used to listening to people talk like that, it's hard to understand them. Then people were like, oh, Colin Farrell made a dig at SNL, which I also don't think was true, because then Jimmy Kimmel kind of kept up on the joke when he talked to Colin Farrell during the Oscars on Sunday.
The next question is from Joey Perello from Las Vegas for Colin Farrell.
Haven't seen Joey in years.
Well, Joey would like to say...
So from that, it seems like Colin is pretty game to play along.
Colin, I loved your performance in The Banshees of Inisherin. My question is, what were you saying in the movie?
I'd like him to go on YouTube and check out SNL last night and he'll have a good idea.
And that way he'll figure it out?
So, yeah, so I got that from a different clip. So someone else was like, you can tell that he's playing along. He's like, oh, I love Joey. I haven't seen him in so long.
Yeah.
And what he says is like, you know, because the joke is, I loved you in Banshees of Inisherin. What were you saying? And I actually didn't have as big of a problem understanding him. Brendan Gleeson, I thought, was harder to understand in that movie than Colin Farrell was. But then he jokes back, have them go watch the SNL sketch, which, you know, he may have had some feelings about it, but it wasn't like, oh, he makes dig at SNL.
And he was very affable, and I mean, it did not seem intended to be nasty.
No.
It really didn't.
And so this comes back, because of course, as I'm trying to make the connection to, as Wisconsinites, also not a I mean, I guess technically you could say we're a marginalized group. We're not a huge state. There's only five point something million of us.
We have more people than the Dakotas.
We have more people than Ireland. Because did they say only 5 million, five to seven million, depending if you're including Northern Ireland. So we went back and grabbed some of the sketches SNL has done stereotyping Wisconsin, and God, are they bad.
Oh, that's being kind.
Like, I don't know how much of each one you grab, but let's just play, set up which one of you're going to play first.
This is these are Wisconsin women.
You hear that, Bethan?
Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah. She thinks these are tights. These are reinforced industrial leggings from Tractor Supply.
Yeah. Cute tights don't matter when you're screaming at the top of your lungs, running through thorny brush like a tank.
Yeah. What matters is you don't scratch your skunk.
Why would you be running through brush screaming?
Well, to get away, you know.
From what?
I don't know if you heard, but you're deep in Wisconsin's bear country.
Yeah, we got a ton of black bear, yeah.
Sorry, aren't they hibernating right now?
Ha! Joint saying, you hear that?
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do, but so many city folks get hoses out here and don't secure their trash.
Yeah, we call them cityots. These bears are like my husband. He could be sawing logs in the Lazy Boy, but as soon as I come in the door with my Mickey D's quarter pounder, he's wide awake ripping my bag apart and ba-da-ba-ba-ba. He's loving it.
That was Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer,
by the way.
Lopez's Wisconsin accent is maybe the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't even know what she was trying to do.
All of them were terrible.
Cicely Strong's is okay.
No.
She's from Chicago, so she gets it a little bit, but like I would have thought that her being from Chicago, it would have been better.
And easier for her.
But I don't even understand the joke. Like that one was so bad. And then there was another one about Fond du Lac News, which was also not funny.
You're watching Southeastern Wisconsin's award-winning news team. Top of the hour from the bottom of the lake. This is Fond du Lac Action News.
Trish Wisnowski.
I'm Joe Bush.
And here's your news, Fond du Lac. Let's get to tonight's top story. So, outrage as the hearing date's been set to determine where recently released sex offender Jim Heinzel lives.
Oh, God. I hope he doesn't get Judge Briggs, because she fined me $300 for going through a stop-and-go light by the Pizza Hut that I know is yellow.
Joe, yellow? I've driven with you. Come on.
On to our next story. Rumors are swirling about a possible cancellation of this year's annual Winterfest. Our very own Barb Von Stoppen is at the fairgrounds. Let's go to her live.
Hi there, Trish and Joe.
Hey, Barb.
What's happening there, Barb? Because my friend John Wheeler from Snowmobile Place called me and said, this is a big mess. And I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah. My friend Jana works at Labatt's. Goes to me, there's got to be a solution. I go, well, what is it? She goes, I don't know. I go, okay.
Good point. Thank you for that report, Barb. Keep us posted.
Yeah, no problem. Back to you guys.
Bad. Just bad.
Like, I mean, especially because I could see there's parts in there where it could be funny, but it's so far from being, because like so much of comedy comes from like the nugget of truth that it's like, oh, like I get what you're going for, but that's not quite it. Like the jokes about Winterland, it's like, I just feel like there's more accurate stuff. And like who thinks it's funny? Is it just, it was the same thing. I don't know. It's just, and so it's like, is it only not funny because we don't find the truth in it and that other people do? And so that's why they continue to kind of sometimes, and granted, it's also a high.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're wrapping up the week. This week flew by.
It really did.
When you don't have a Wednesday show, it really clips along.
It did.
But wrapping up for the week. St. Patrick's Day. I forgot to wear my hat, so I'll have to post that on social media later. But we were just wrapping up the conversation as far as SNL and their attempt to make fun of different big jokes. But sometimes they just really aren't funny. But I don't know if they're ever offensive. Like, I wouldn't look at those Wisconsin sketches that we played in the last segment and be like, oh, I'm so offended.
No, I just thought it was not well done. Texter from the 262, I think the SNL sketch opens up a Pandora's box as far as what is appropriate in comedy. This is going back to the Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson bit. Are Wisconsinites the only people who can poke fun of Wisconsin culture? Should it even be joked about? Unfortunately, some people will always be offended. Some people will always laugh. There is no perfect answer. If you ever want to check in, 844-967-2789.
And I think it's being, I don't know, it's just being smarter. Like, I think you can. I don't think you always have to be from the group and be in on the joke, but I think it just has to be a smarter joke if you actually want people to laugh. But I think making people laugh is also different than offending people or
Definitely.
Having the joke be objectively offensive.
Yeah. And again, I think the SNL bit was not about drinking. It was about those two particular actors with their heavy accents talking over each other during an interview. But you had to have seen that interview in order to get to the context of this bit. So maybe that's where they made too far of a stretch, assuming that people knew where the joke sprang from.
Yeah. Versus Fond du Lac News, I don't know where that comes from.
It was just all bad. The one best part, which was way too visual, they went to the weather reporter and then didn't let her answer anything, and then she just kicked it back. That was the funniest part of that bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, see ya.
Okay. The cancellation of Winterland.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised that we don't, to a certain extent, I am surprised that Wisconsin doesn't have a Winterland festival.
We can start one.
Because we have Mittenfest. Right? Which is a it's a Milwaukee concert. So anyways, but What do you got going this weekend?
I have got to do our taxes.
Oh, I'm doing that next weekend.
I want to get it done. I'd like to give my accountant a little breather. Although, again, things you can't deduct anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the few things we used to be able to deduct. Thank you to Paul Ryan and the tax reforms that now fit on a postcard, which was never true and still is not true. yes, we lost all those little deductions we used to be able to take. So it is actually simpler
than it
used to be.
Yeah.
But I still like to give my guy a break and get him in so he's not panicking.
I still have to hunt everything down because I realize that since I moved.
Uh-oh.
I think some of my mail didn't make it to my forwarding address, so I gotta go hunt down some 1099s and W-2s.
You best get on that, girl.
Yeah, so I gotta get going on that. But I think for me, it will be a lot of basketball watching.
Yes, you're going up to see the parental units and your father's birthday.
Yep. So we're picking my brother up from Madison en route to Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, wow.
So he's here. So the whole
Ben's
family.
Here.
Ben is landed. He's landing in 2.5 hours.
Oh, very cool.
So we'll get him. We'll all be together. We'll watch some basketball. And so that'll be fun.
Do you take Cliffy along?
Cliffy, yeah. My mom would not open the door if we didn't actually have the dog, her only grandbaby so far.
Her granddog.
So Cliff will come. So we have hopefully a relaxing weekend. I'm trying to think of what we have coming up next week for people to look forward to. But I have some catch up to do on... There was a lot of news this week that I feel like I have to go back and read. Having that middle day off was a little
me. It was busy. It's been a busy, busy week.
It's been a busy week. Mm-hmm. So trying to think if any other news. Oh. quote, "You might think this is a joke, but it's not." End quote. Joe Exotic on his 2024 presidential campaign.
Wait. Joe Exotic, Tiger King guy?
Tiger King, Joe Exotic announces 2024 presidential run.
I thought he was in prison.
He is. Joe Exotic, who is currently serving a prison sentence, announced Wednesday he is entering the race for the White House in 2024. Despite his conviction, Exotic declared it is his constitutional right to run for president, even from prison. And Exotic took aim at the U.S. Department of Justice over his conviction. I forgot that I read that this morning.
You know there will be people who will vote for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's serving a 21-year prison sentence following his 2019 conviction on multiple charges, including 2 counts of hiring hitmen to murder Carol Baskin.
Yeah, there was that.
Do you know that they found her husband?
And no.
It went, like, totally under the radar? That her husband's alive and, like, no one made a big deal when that news broke. They was like, oh, yeah, he actually is living in, like, Argentina. He's alive. He's fine. She didn't kill him.
So he just hired 2 really bad hitmen.
Well, he hired 2 bad hitmen because he hired people to kill Carol Baskin.
Oh, sorry.
But the whole point of that show was, did Carol Baskin feed her ex-husband
to the tigers?
And turns out he's actually alive. But despite everyone's obsession with that show, when it's like this was back in January of this year, Carol Baskin says dead husband was found alive, but no one noticed. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Oh my God.
Carol Baskin claims her husband isn't dead after all. And apparently they found him. So there you go. Well, there's some random news to end the week on. I hope you have a very safe and fun St. Patrick's Day.
Please be safe. Take an Uber. Have a friend drive. Take the bus.
Don't drink and drive. We'll be back next week. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Luke is here. I'm looking right at him. While we were in Madison yesterday, he is going to be recording live from Waukesha. But that is it for us. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll see you Monday.
Mink coats, des bijoux, jusqu'au cou, tu sais. C'est bon, ces petites sensations. Peut-être quelqu'un avec un petit yacht, non? Oh.
C'est bon. C'est bon. C'est bon. Vous savez bien que j'attendrai quelqu'un qui pourrait m'apporter beaucoup de loot. Ce soir, demain, la semaine prochaine, n'importe quand. C'est bon, si bon. Il sera très crazy, non? Voilà, c'était.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Another bank failure and bailout. San Francisco's First Republic has received a $30 billion cash infusion from a coalition of lenders. Here's correspondent Nancy Cordes.
First Republic Bank stock price plunged another 33% after S&P downgraded the bank's credit rating amid fears of a customer exodus.
Altogether, I decided to close this account. It's not a big money, but still money for especially for retired people.
Right. First Republic isn't the only mid-sized bank suddenly facing a crisis of investor confidence. PacWest Bancorp stock has tumbled 66% this month. Western Alliance Bank, 57%, despite balance sheets that look better than Silicon Valley banks did before it failed last Friday.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is applauding an unprecedented move, an international court arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin for war crimes in Ukraine. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
Russian propaganda claims the country is trying to save Ukraine's children and that the hearts of Russians are big and benevolent. But the international...